No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Lee Vowell and Todd Vandenberg.
And welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast. You can read all of our stuff on 12thmanrising.com. I think that's Todd. So, okay, Sam Howell. So here's the thing with Sam.
Let's get into it.
My article yesterday, I put out an article and I got an email about the title of the email and I don't respond to emails. I might respond to a tweet or a comment on Facebook, but don't email me, good or bad. Just don't, I won't respond. But, the title of the article or the title of the email just said, "You're an idiot," but of course it started with Y-O-U-R. I think I said you're a idiot. So it's like, okay, sure. I'm not even. And then I read a very snippet and it was because I didn't open it, but it just said something about like, this is why I trust Schneider's decision making more than some idiot sports writer who doesn't have a real job. And I was thinking a few things. First of all, well, thanks. Never been called a sports writer before. It's actually nice. I appreciate that.
Even though that actually is your real job, but you know,
okay. Yeah. And it's like, well, that I hope it's my real, my mortgage company appreciates me doing what I do. as does my car note. So I guess I have a real job. John Schneider's decision-making better than mine. Of course. Hello. Yeah. Gee, that's not even an argument.
It is called fan-sided. We are fans, so
right, exactly. I mean, we make billions of dollars doing it, of course, but you know, it is what it is. But anywho, I wrote two Sam Howell articles as soon as they were done. One is that they overpaid for him over in the trade, and the other one was about Adam Schefter's comment, which said he's going to compete with Geno Smith. Literally, he said he's going to compete. A competition for Geno Smith, right? At QB1. Right. And some people were negative about that. It's like, oh, he literally just said something about the trade. No, he literally said it's competition for Geno Smith, which is a stupid comment to make because Geno Smith's the starter. There's no competition. Even John Schneider said that on his show last night. It's like, Geno's the starter. And you
quoted the tweet, which it's right there.
Literally.
Right there.
Copied and pasted and then put the tweet in. But for people out there listening, I'm a huge North Carolina fan. I hope Sam Howell is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right.
My issue is that I don't care if it's Sam Howell or Bad Bunny, or which would be kind of cool to see him at quarterback, but anyone else. But if you're trading, and I understand I'll get into that in a minute, but if you're trading a third round pick, which is what they did, for a backup quarterback, that's too much to pay. I mean, you might get Justin Fields for a fourth rounder. He is a starter. I don't think he's a good quarterback, but he is a starter.
Yeah.
Sam Howell probably is not even capable of Justin Fields. He got sacked way too much, which is not mostly his fault. Bad offensive line. The 21 interceptions that, you know, led the league easily. That's on him. He can be an accurate quarterback. He was not as good in his last year of college as he was before because they kind of lost so many weapons. Mm-hmm. But I've seen a bunch of Sam Howell play because I watch a lot of North Carolina football.
Right.
I think he's a good quarterback. I just think they overpaid. And I've seen the argument that say, oh, there's only 15 spots difference between, you know, third round. That's a huge amount. when you get to be in the third. If it's in the first round, that's a big difference too. But I mean, if I'm drafting at number 9 versus 21, I still expect high quality. If I'm drafting midway through the third, how many people out there are saying, oh, well, yeah, I mean, he was a fourth round pick, but it was almost a third round pick. Nobody says that. You are what you are. And there's a huge difference between midway through the third and then the beginning of the fourth. There's a big drop off in talent the later you get with each round in the draft.
Yep, exactly.
Anyway, so again, I like Sam Howell. I think he can be an accurate quarterback. I think he probably overperformed based on what other tools. He is could be a good backup. He's not going to be, to me, and you may have a different take on this. He's 23. I don't want him to be the starter after Geno leaves in 2 years, but I can see the point of that. But a third round pick for a backup quarterback, conceivably for two more years, is too much to give up for any backup quarterback, which is what he is.
First, I agree they gave up too much for him.
That's our show.
There's talk out there that Fields might be available for a fifth. It's like, if Justin Fields is available for a fifth, and yes, they got a fourth and a sixth back, so it's not like they only gave up a third and didn't get something back, but still, they got a third for a fourth. And if it had been a fourth for a fourth, okay, I would have been much better with the deal. I'm picturing that, and Schneider has made a point of, and I think he talked about it too much, and maybe that's why he wanted to pay him with a third. But he made a point of talking about, of course, this is after, but he made it clear earlier that he really liked Howell. And, probably said, no. If we'll take him off your hands, you should have poor mouthed him, but didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I picture they did this because they do see him as Smith's successor in a couple of years. And I can see that happening with much better coaching. I mean, and it will be out tomorrow, but it's like, I see this very similar to what Geno Smith went through with the Jets. It's like, does he look like he did with the Jets? Of course, he's had a lot more seasoning, but he'll have 2 years working with Grubb, working with Geno. We know Geno is going to teach him everything he knows he possibly can, because that's what he did with Locke.
Yeah, and just to interject, I mean, I think we're implying and assuming at this point that if Hal is now the backup for 2 years, which he's under contract cheaply for 2 years, which is another savings over Drew Locke, then huge savings. And Geno Smith is under contract for 2 more years. We're assuming the Seahawks are not drafting a quarterback for 2 years, because what would you do with one of those quarterbacks? Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So I'm picturing they did that. Not, Schneider didn't see. He's like, oh, this is our backup. I think Schneider, well, for one thing, he's a much cheaper backup than Locke, much cheaper. And to me, he's equivalent to Locke. So, yeah, the draft pick hurts, but it's like, they were paying Locke $5 million, right? $5 million, right? They're paying him less than $1
million. Yeah, $5 million, yeah.
So if they save $4 million and got an equivalent backup with actually more, I think he probably has more starts, or at least a similar number of starts as Locke, yeah. Right? Similar experience. And he's young. He's younger than a couple of the top draft picks coming up.
17 years old, actually. He hasn't. Yeah,
you have a guy who's 23 years old, and he's been in the league for three years now?
Is it two years? He's got 2 years left.
This is his third year, yeah. So it's like he's got a lot of experience in the NFL. It's like it's been rough for sure, but it was rough for Geno too.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I think the other point I didn't make was that it wouldn't bother me so much if they still had a second round pick. Because then you'd still have first, second. Right. But now you had 3 picks in the first 3 rounds. Now you just have 2. I mean, and according to Pro Football Focus, the Seahawks had, going at before the free agency, before that trade, they had the 27th best, I guess, fifth worst draft capital status heading into the April's draft. And now that's going to be even worse because they lost one of those third round picks.
Much worse. Much worse. Yeah. Yeah. So, my issue is not with, just like you, I don't think your issue is with Howell, as you made clear, right? It's that third round pick that they gave. And I agree. And it's like, that's a lot. So to me, he needs to pan out as the eventual starter, but he's not going to. Okay, he'll compete for the starting job just like anybody competes for a starting job. But and it's not quite the same level, but it's like, oh, we drafted a middle linebacker 5 years ago and he's going to compete with Bobby Wagner for the position. It's like, no, he isn't.
Yeah,
he's not. That's ridiculous. It's like he's competing with the other guys to make sure that we have a plan in place just in case something happens. So in case something happens to Geno, because it happened last season, right? We needed someone for a couple games. It's like, yeah, it can happen. So they need somebody competent. I think they have somebody competent. Is he great? Hell no, he's not great. But with a couple years under Grubb and Smith, I think he has the potential to be great. I absolutely do. If he doesn't, then I don't know why the hell they made the. If they don't see him as a potential starter down the road, this is an awful trade. An awful trade.
Would you theoretically do this, not take a quarterback? Because I don't think they should take a quarterback, especially early in this draft, just because why would they?
I'd take a flyer on someone like in the fifth round, maybe. I mean, that's where Howell got drafted, right?
And then put him on the – I mean, I guess you could have him.
Yeah, put him on the practice
But
spot.
Even then, it's like you – I don't know. It gets weird. But would you theoretically, because you know you have Howell who's super cheap for the next 2 years, like less than $1 million, right, cap hit, would you theoretically not take a quarterback this year and take one next year and then insert Howell as the starter for 2025 and release Geno?
Depends on how it looks.
But and hopefully and he doesn't play.
Different. Yeah, live games are different, but it depends how he looks in preseason, right? If he looks really good in preseason, like he's picking up things, he's correcting his past mistakes, he has a better supporting cast, for one thing, for sure. He's got more consistent coaching, we hope. So if he looks like he's the starter for at least for 2026, then no, why would you waste it?
Or 2025. I mean, are you thinking Geno's
I'm thinking Geno's the starter next year, too. If Howell looks so good in practice and in preseason that he legitimately beats out Geno in 2025, that's possible. It's not possible this year, but it's possible next year because Geno's a year older. Howell has a year under his belt with decent coaching for a change. Poor guy. So I still don't think it would happen, which is why I think it's like he could take over in 2026. But it's like this year is like, why waste? Like, as you said, they have such little draft capital and they still have so many holes. It's like they'd be crazy to draft a quarterback this year.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense because they'd have to get. No. I mean, you don't want to have the Seahawks historically since 2010 have not had three quarterbacks. With the new rule, you can have a third quarterback. On game days, just as a backup in case the first two get hurt. But there's no reason to have three on the roster. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially since Smith.
No.
Today's relatively healthy.
Even if they had like 9 picks this year, it's like it really wouldn't make sense to waste a draft pick on a quarterback. Yeah. It just doesn't. But and draft capitals have, it's like, no.
Yeah, and somebody disagreed with me saying – highly disagreed with me about, and they point out that Howell's 23, which is correct and good. And then they're like, but hey, he's got starting experience. So what? I mean, great. I mean, that's good to degree. How many starting quarterbacks did the Cleveland Browns have? I mean, we could say, oh, well, that guy's got starting experience.
Yeah. If you're terrible,
it could go either way.
Right. I mean, the
21 interceptions in today's NFL is horrible. And again, no offense to Sam Howell. It's really about the draft pick. I hope he does really well when he comes over and does whatever he has to with the Seattle Seahawks, whether he's just the backup and never plays and Geno stays healthy. Or the other side of the implication to me is, and so many people quickly defending Howell, who's never played a down, never, you know, played against Seattle, but he's never done anything with the team. Is it there's that implication of, oh, thank goodness somebody's going to replace Geno because he sucks, you know?
I know. And it's like, what are they looking at?
What are they looking at with Sam Howell and thinking he's better than Geno? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
21 interceptions is a lot of interceptions in today's. Now, when we were growing up, 21 interceptions is like, that happens. You know,
right.
18 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. That's actually not a bad year for some quarterbacks. But now
some quarterbacks could make the Pro Bowl on that 20
yeah,
years ago.
Course, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But now it's you look at it and it's just like.
Yeah, because it's scared to be so pass oriented. It makes it so much easier for quarterbacks now. I do give him credit for, you know, having the game experience just because of college quarterbacks aren't used to the speed of the NFL. They're not. He is. Has he performed well against that speed? Typically not. No. But at least, you know, he's got a base to grow from, whereas someone coming out of college doesn't.
Yeah, if you're comparing those, I'm just saying there were a lot of backup quarterbacks who played starting snaps last year.
Right.
And I
right.
don't think that's a valid argument when you're comparing other quarterbacks.
No.
Tyler Huntley, for instance, would right. have been a fantastic, more expensive, but a fantastic. Because then he was a quarterback under Mike McDonald when McDonald was in Baltimore. And yeah, he would be a little bit more expensive. He would be maybe Drew Locke money, but and he would be a free agent instead of somebody you traded a draft pick for.
Right.
But again, no offense to Sam Howell. I hope he does terrific. I hope all the Carolina guys do terrific things. But I just that, you know. Still bug if they had the second round pick and they might get that back. Maybe they'll trade back in the first round and out of second round, but you can't, you have to assume two things there. You have to assume that's what John Schneider wants to do. And you also have to assume there's a team willing to like, okay, yeah, we'll take, because you can't just force a trade. Somebody has to be willing to trade back with you for some reason.
Right. When you run mock drafts, most of these things they have, if they have the ability to trade, they'll have, it's like, oh, you can force this trade. What would be the point of that? Then it's not a mock draft anymore. Then it's your little fantasy ploy.
Exactly.
And for instance, Pro Football Focus.
Subscription required.
Are paywall friendly? Not. they're pretty stringent about their AI is pretty stringent about accepting trades. It's hard to get that system to accept a trade at times. It really is. So what would be the point of enforcing it? Because it's not realistic at all. So,
right.
And you definitely can't do that in the real NFL, because unless the GM is like, I don't know, working for Cleveland, you know, they know what you need. You know, they know why you want that pick. They know who you're looking at.
Yeah.
You're the one who came to them asking for a trade. They're in the driver's seat. So, yeah, it's not easy to make that happen just because you want it. And a lot of fans seem to like, oh, why don't they do this? Is because, again, the people who are vastly overreacting to the Seahawks not making a big splash on day one, there's 31 other teams. You are aware of that, right? It's not just like, oh, I get to pick what I want, and then I have an unlimited budget. It's like.
Yeah, I saw a comment that said something. Somebody said, oh, the Seahawks were just, you know, because Jordan Brooks left and Wagner left and Will Disley, a lot of players have left.
Right,
But somebody made a comment, oh, they were too slow about re-signing players. That's not how it works. It's not like a race. Like, okay, bing, go. Okay, first offer's in, sign it. It's like, that's not how it works. The Seahawks had discussions. They could have discussions well before free agency hit. They didn't have to wait to try to re-sign their own players. They could have done it. Plus, they released.
They could have done it before the last season started. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Right. So there's people no slowness so to it.
Yeah.
They chose not to sign those players, or they chose not to pay what those players like Damian
that
Lewis.
That is by design. It's funny how when you write an article, you'll get criticized for, you don't know anything what you're talking about. And yet, the same kind of people make comments like that. They're like,
yeah.
Okay.
I saw one about Bobby Wagner, like, oh, why did they, you know, this is the second time they've released him. I was like, no, he wasn't released. He was a free agent and they chose not to bring him back.
Yeah.
I can see their point. We'd love to have Bobby Wagner back, right? I mean, he's a fantastic player, one of the best players in franchise history.
Yep.
Top three, arguably. But
one of the best players in NFL history at his position.
But I wouldn't have signed him for what he signed for with Washington. He got a pay hike. He's still a good player, but he's terrible on coverage.
Exactly.
He does not fit the
new scheme, and that's the issue. That's why.
Because McDonald's, he requires his linebackers to be able to cover well, and Wagner nor Brooks just have never shown the ability to do that. Where Dotson, who we'll get into, I guess, in just a second.
Yeah.
He the only issue with him, and this was long ago, was his arrest for domestic violence before his rookie season. And then he didn't play and he was undrafted and there was a whole lot of, but then when he's gotten a chance to play like he did last year and started 10 games, I mean, the grades for Pro Football Focus are great. He was the top graded linebacker in the league last year. But he, you can see he has the ability to cover. You can see that he has the ability to play the run well, which is absolutely what you must do in a Mike McDonald defense.
Yep.
And he's a better fit for that reason, especially for his coverage skills than Wagner is.
It's the same thing with Diggs and Jenkins. And, you know, I know you're not like a major fan of the signing of Jenkins, but Jenkins fits the new defense much better than Diggs. And people are just, they're so focused on, you know, the glam stat for safeties, especially free safeties, interceptions. It's like, okay, Jenkins doesn't do as much of that as Diggs, except over the past 2 years he did.
I'm okay with Jenkins over Diggs now. Just because Diggs,
he does everything else better. He had far more pass breakups. He gives up far fewer touchdowns. Everything, every single thing is better. And the interceptions are the same over the past 2 years. And again, if they decide, if Diggs would come back at something close to a veteran minimum, oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not going to. He's going to get more money someplace.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, he deserves it. He's a good dude, and he's a good leader.
He absolutely is an awesome leader. He's an awesome, you know, face for the Hawks. He's like, I would love to have him back, but not for.
I'd love to have Nick Ballore back, but not for. You know, he's going to have to take something close to the league minimum.
Exactly. I mean, hey, if Russell Wilson can finally swallow his pride. Russell Wilson.
Sort of. I mean, he's still getting paid, what, $40 million from the Broncos.
But at some point, at some level, even Russell Wilson has to be self-aware enough to realize that he basically signed for the league minimum. Like, that's going to kind of stick somewhere deep. Nah, probably not. I don't think
that hashtag he came up with after signing with the Steelers, Let's Weld, was a little weird. But no, I'm just kidding.
Jesus. That's so Russell Wilson. I'm sure I hope you're listening. Because we love what you did for the Seahawks back in the day before you decided that you were more important than the team. But you need to totally tweet that out, brother.
What upset Sean Payton the most about Russell Wilson last year? I guess the team was putting on a play, and Russell Wilson was asked to play Abel instead of Kane, and he said he didn't want to do it because he wanted a bigger role. It was like, what? I'm making that up.
Shouldn't I be Jesus? Even though Jesus wasn't around that.
I'm out of here on the first act. What the hell? What you doing with that rock?
That could be like in a podcast series. Not a show. A podcast series. Just the dynamic between Russ and Sean. I mean, that could go on for a year. It's like, that was so bizarre.
Yeah, like, that would be brutal listening.
That's called karma. It's like, you're not happy with the situation with the Seahawks? Okay, we're going to put you in with a head coach who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And then you're going to get the hard ass from hell who doesn't like you. It's like,
I think it's a great fit for him going to Pittsburgh. I think Tomlin's going to know how to coach him. And he's not going to be a jerk like Sean Payton.
I think Russ will have an even better, because he had a decent season last year. He still made Russ Wilson mistakes like he did for several years for the Hawks, right? But he does enough good to typically overcome that. I think he'll be even better this year with the Steelers. I hope he is.
Yeah, I got nothing against. I mean, last year we didn't have anything against him. It was the year before when the draft picks were involved.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope
your team sucks because we get better picks. It's like, after that, it's all good. So yeah.
Now, if he'd gone to the, you know, Cowboys or Patriots or something, maybe it would have been different, because, you know, I'm not a big fan of those teams. But exactly. You know, If I don't have anything against the Steelers.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, Tomlin is like one of the all-time greats. So I hope Russ. It's like, well, basically they gave up Mitch Trubisky for Russell Wilson. How did the Steelers come out in that deal? let me think. Even
another Carolina guy.
Even at this point, even the first year in Denver, Russell Wilson would have been better. So for one thing, he wouldn't have played like that if he'd been with the Steelers that year. So,
yeah.
So good on Russ. Hopefully he has a good year for the Steelers. If we meet you in the Super Bowl, sorry, brother, but it's on and you're gone. So good luck with that.
That'd be nice, though. Be nice, another rematch of what
2005. That'd be kind of bizarre, but it could happen because they've got a base there. We've got a base here. Stranger things have happened for sure. So,
which reminds me of True Detective's new series. No, I'm just kidding. So, so the Seahawks have, they re-signed Leonard Williams and they re-signed Noah Fant. I was getting Williams was a must. I've seen people like, absolutely. Oh, you know, he's not good pass rusher, rush win rate. That's what ESPN has said. And I was like, you can see what he does on the field. I mean, that's the eye test is there. He's a great player. They needed to. Did they overpay for him? I don't think so. I mean, $21 million a year. That's about what they expected, right? Christian Wilkins got $27 million.
It was cheap.
Yeah.
You wrote the article talking about us like, oh, Christian Wilkins signings, this really hurts our chance. And you're right. We thought it would, right? Yeah. It's like he signed for a lot less than what I expected.
$6 million a season and a lot less guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, and there's only 1 year difference.
I think he signed that because he thought, I really like it here. I never saw anything written that he said I could have made more someplace else.
Because they gave him the role of Kane, is my understanding.
I'm sure he could have made more someplace else.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Yeah, and no, Noah Fant, I think Noah Fant coming back. I'm thankful that Noah Fant came back because if I were Disley or Parkinson, you know, I would have been like, I'm not getting the ball. But I think Fant was able to see the larger picture as far as, he got paid, sure, but he may have gotten more money around the same amount somewhere else. But if he really thought, oh, I've been here and I haven't gotten the ball anywhere in my career so far, I want to go somewhere because he clearly has the physical skill to put up good numbers, right? And I think he saw the bigger picture where it's like, okay, Ryan Grubb, I can see what he did, what he did in Washington. I can see what his scheme is. I think he's going to have a big season this year.
I agree. And this is not like a justification of moving on from Pete Carroll over one player. Certainly not. But I think, and it's not so much Pete, but it's the offense, right? I think if Shane Waldron was still the OC, I guarantee you he would have moved on. Because it wouldn't have been any different. Why would he stay?
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
So now he has an OC who's like noted for his NFL. We'll see how that works in the NFL, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But now he has a coordinator who's noted for innovation and getting players in position to make plays. Getting your playmakers in position to make plays. He's a playmaker. He was rarely put into position to make plays, right? But of those three tight ends, clearly the best option at that. And no, he's not Will Disley as a blocker, but who is? But it's not that he's a bad blocker.
Pharaoh Brown's actually not a bad blocker.
Brown's a really good blocker. And I love the fact that, and he can catch the ball a little, right? But I love the fact that they brought in as a second tight end, we have clearly defined roles now. And it's not so much, and they're not going to be goofy enough to like, oh, we're always going to send out the pass catcher and we're always going to hold the blocker back. They're not going to freaking do that because Brown can catch. And again, Fant can block. It's like he he's not Will Disley as a blocker, but he's not Zach Ertz over the past couple of years either.
No, yeah.
So I love the fact that they picked up Brown. Brown, and we talked about it a little bit. You've written about it. I've written about it. I'm going to write more about it. And people are overreacting. It's like, oh, we didn't get the big splash. It's like, you don't need the big splash. You need players.
Right. And I think the concern we had, and most people probably had, logically had, was that they were signing players, but they weren't signing players that I mean, Fant was one tight end, right? But they brought him back. It was like kind of like opening your Christmas presents and it being the same thing you got last year kind of thing, you know. But they weren't filling positions that they clearly needed, like at safety, which now they've started doing, and linebacker, which now they've started doing.
Right.
So they have started filling those, and they filled those positions with Dotson could be very good, and they started filling those positions with quality.
And they do it every year. That's the thing. Yeah. They do it every year. And it's like, have you not watched the Seahawks?
Well, I think that was part, just to be devil's advocate. I agree with you. But just being devil's advocate, I think one thing that they until last year, they did the same thing, which they're doing this year. Right. And then last year, they were a little bit aggressive by signing Draymond Jones and some other guys. Yeah. And then they freed up all that space between the week. And like, OK, they're really going to be players. They're going to actually go out. And then thud, you know, it was like, OK. And I think a lot of people got this is the first year where John Schneider's had full roster control. So I maybe they thought the Seahawks were going to approach free agency differently, which makes sense too. So, I mean, I can see why people got their hopes up that they were going to, but really. Yeah.
They didn't have that much space.
Well, they had $55 million. I mean, the top 10 space, but I agree.
Barely.
And the way they structure the contracts, I mean, you could load them, backload them and stuff like that. They had space, but you look at the free agents who have been signed and it's just like, okay, what player has gone to another team where it's like, well, they got greatly improved.
You know, you want to overpay for somebody, fine. Like Schneider's talked about the guards are getting drastically overpaid. It's like they are.
Oh my gosh, yes. Holy cow, like, yeah.
They're guards. Those are fifth round draft picks. Yep. What are you doing?
I'm still hoping they get Kevin Zeitler from the Ravens, but they're not going to overpay for anybody.
Exactly.
They didn't even overpay Leonard Williams, like we said.
They overpaid for, according to how he performed last year, I'm shocked they kept him. But, I mean, they're keeping a lot of players that I didn't think they would keep because, obviously, Schneider and McDonald had conversations, and McDonald said, I can work with this guy. I can make this guy work. Draymond Jones was overpaid.
With Sam Howell.
Right, right.
I mean, clearly Ryan Grubb was a part of that conversation because would he not be?
Yeah. But it's like Draymond Jones, that was the big splash signing last year. How did that work out?
Yeah, I think we both have a feeling he's going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah, I think he will be. But last year, they weren't planning on, we're going to get rid of Pete. Last year, when they signed him, you know, it was like, this is our system. He's going to be an awesome pickup. He was not an awesome pickup.
They
finally moved him in the right position, and he was better.
After how long? Over more than half the season, right? And that was part of the problem with Pete in the last few years. And Clint Hurt is just like, you sign these players and it's like, then you really don't have a plan on like, okay, he's going to play on the inside, but is that really his best fit? And then they're so slow to finally they move him outside and he looks a lot better. I think I don't know what Mike McDonald's going to do, but I mean, they're going with a 4-3 base now instead of 3-4 anyway, but if your ends
McDonald's
are Williams and
do a
Jones,
lot is what he's going to do. But it's like, and it's like, okay, so like literally an article that's going to be coming out tomorrow because that's the way I work. Maybe it'll do it. Maybe it won't.
On Taylor Swift.
But literally, right last year, they signed Draymond Jones. What was a bigger deal? Getting Jones or getting Jaren Reed and Julian Love and Bobby Wagner? It was the same money.
Yeah.
Julian
Love was a sneaky signing.
Had the bigger impact? So get away from this concept. We didn't make a big splash. I don't give a crap what kind of a splash you make. I want a team.
Yeah.
And that's what Schneider is doing. Does it always work? No, it doesn't. It's like, there's a certain linebacker who is no longer with the team. Thank God they didn't tender him an offer because he was a disaster. But again, he was one of the later picks, right? Like, but
you mean Devin Bush?
Yeah, Bush. It's like, Draymond Jones, that looked great at the time. But it didn't pay off until they finally figured out this is the way to use him. Hopefully this year it is a big deal, right? But it's like,
because Mike McDonald's not going to come in and be like, I don't really know what to do. Or he's going to have a clear plan, for everyone.
Which is why Jordan Brooks, even though the Hawks could have brought him back for the same money, and Bobby Wagner, they wouldn't have brought him back for the same money. Like you said, I think Commanders overpaid for him at this point. It would have been great to have them back, but they don't fit that new scheme. They just don't. They've never been good in coverage. They have to be. They have to be under McDonald, and that's their one weakness. I mean, if it was a different scheme, it's like Yeah, absolutely. But it's not. It had nothing to do with their skill. It's their skill set. Right. And that's why the Seahawks moved on from those guys, as much as it sucks.
I don't mind
leaving as much. I mean, he's a really good player. Well, but
because he went to Miami. I see how it is.
Yeah, we'll see how he does in Miami. I don't know.
I think he'll be good. I think he'll be a good player in Miami. He was already good. He was. And now, but a year removed, completely removed from his injury, I think he'll be a very good player. I think he could be a Pro Bowler in Miami.
Yeah, he could be.
But one thing that they've done that was, I don't think it's getting enough publicity, is the fact that they re-signed, or they, I guess they brought back, they didn't re-sign him, but brought back George Fant. And it wasn't that cheap.
That's
either.
Got no buzz.
No, and it's like, that guy could be the starter, right? And it would be fine. He's actually turned out to be a pretty good tackle in this league.
He might wind up being the starter, depending on how Lucas is.
Yeah, right, and the fact that they didn't, because he's making, how much is he making this year? $7 or $8 million? I mean, it's not cheap.
It's not.
You don't sign somebody like that with that amount of money and thinking, oh, this just guy's going to be a backup. He's never going to play. There's clearly something going on with Lucas, and they're thinking, Fant's probably going to get more, could get more reps because of Lucas's knee injury. And to be honest, that's okay if he's the right tackle.
Yeah.
If he's one tackle and crosses the other tackle, I think that's fine.
Yeah. I think they're looking at him starting probably half the season. I agree with you.
Yeah. And they didn't sign him for 1 year. More. It was 2 years too, which is also important.
And then, you know, he can move around. So, yeah.
But he's a good tackle. I mean,
a very good tackle, and he'll probably go out for passes 6-7 times a year.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
it's grub. It's like, you know, watch him catch a touchdown first game. It's like, you know what's going to happen.
That's right. Yeah, and the pass to Olawotumi is complete. And what is happening here?
Okay, Noah back to block. It's like.
Noah and George people are not related for anyone listening. They are not. They just have Fant as their last name. They're not actually. But George is related to.
Should be Fanta.
Someone else. He does just have
like,
a.
Just like Quandre is not related to Stefan. He's like, what the hell? who is his brother? I can't remember what his brother's name is now.
I can't. He
does have a brother in the league, but it's like different last name. Anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that's. Yeah, I don't. You're right. I don't think that's. Nobody's talking about it, and I'm surprised because it's like that
again.
Guy could be right tackle. Yeah. You're starting right tackle.
That's a very important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah,
it's like that shores up because that's a big question mark. Is like, is Lucas going to be ready? Like, you know, and if he's healthy, hell yeah, I'm thrilled to have Lucas. But that's the question: is he going to be ready? So,
and you can't keep rotating offensive linemen. You can't do that. You have to build cohesion, and just rotating them in is like. That's not doing a service for the player or the unit overall.
Yeah, and then the Hawks have seen that for the past several years, basically since Max Unger left, practically. Yeah. They've seen that.
Well, I mean, just within the game. I mean, Lucas would rotate out. It's just you can't have that. You have to have cohesion and stability on the offensive line. I mean, you don't always want. You don't want Bobby Wagner playing 100% of the snaps, which he had to last year, right? And especially defensive linemen. But offensive linemen work differently.
Yeah.
You have to. It's a unit instead of one individual player. You could have a great offensive left tackle, and the rest of the line sucks. Your line's going to suck. But yeah, I think Fan 100. Is a sneaky good signing.
Agreed.
What makes you wonder what they're going to do as soon as we stop recording this podcast, right?
It's like. Release all the players they just signed. It's like, we had second thoughts.
That's right.
Clear cap space.
Just signed someone. Justin Timberlake, it looks like. They've re-signed Justin Timberlake.
They're just signing players to trade them for draft picks. It's like, genius.
Jerome Baker is set to visit the Seahawks linebacker.
I saw that.
He's actually a good player.
Yeah, I saw that.
Aaron Donald has retired. I'm making that up. Somebody did tweet that, but that's a lie.
Like, please let that be true. That bastard's going to be sacking Seahawks quarterbacks when he's 46 years old. It's like, good Lord, dude.
That's right.
There's Stop it. Take a day off, man.
A tweet that says Seahawks icon Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers, and there is a picture of Matthew McConaughey from the first season of True Detective. I'm not making that up either.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, I get it. Russell Wilson has been controlled by the Yellow King. I get
that's
it
right.
all.
That's right.
Makes complete sense. Oh, my Lord. So, yeah, they started slow, right? The Hawks, but picking up steam. Howell is a good pickup. Again, I agree with you. I don't like what they gave up to get him, but I really like the fact that they brought Howell in. Jeez, man, Dotson. That's so good.
Wait, hold on. Is Aaron Donald actually retiring?
No.
You've seen a whole lot of tweets about it.
If he is, please God, yes. Well, it actually wouldn't be that surprising, right?
Because
talked about last season.
Oh, according to Yahoo Sports, 29 minutes ago. Aaron Donald, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, announces retirement.
Yeah.
We should probably stop recording and write an article.
But then Thank God Almighty. Yeah. On therams.com, so I guess it's real. So the Rams' own website says that he's retired. So there That's we go. He is retired. We are Throughout so grateful for Aaron's dedication to beating the crap out of our skull, says right. John Schneider.
That's right. Yeah, ESPN. Throughout my career, I've given everything to football, both mentally and physically. I just don't have it in me to take down Sam Howell for the Seahawks. It's cool. It's nice of him. That's good to hear.
Well, you know, if that's what it took, it's like, I'm glad we picked up Sam Howell. Like, I ain't going to chase that. I can't catch those Carolina boys. No way, man.
Actually, they'll say, throughout my career, I've given everything to football, both mentally and physically. 365 days a year was dedicated to becoming the best possible player I could be. I respected this game like no other, and I'm blessed to be able to conclude my NFL career with the same franchise that drafted me. Not many people get drafted to a team, win a world championship with that team, and retire with that team. I do not and will not take that for granted. Wow.
Good for him.
Yeah, now I feel bad about making fun of X or Twitter. It's like, oh, we actually learned something while we're recording this podcast.
How about that? Good for Donald, and thank God for the Seahawks. I mean, obviously, one of the all-time greats, right? And it's like,
oh, yeah.
How often do you see kind of an undersized player, like drastically undersized for his position?
Yeah, he's 4'10", 220. A lot of people don't know that. But he's so low and powerful that it's
Danny DeVito, basically. He's the Danny DeVito of the NFL.
That's right.
Yeah, I was like, seriously, dude, thank you for retiring. I was like, we should like write him personally. That's get right. his phone number and call him. It's like, we're big Seahawks fans and we can't thank you enough.
That he was one of three players to win Defensive Player of the Year 3 times, along with some guy named Lawrence Taylor, another Carolina guy, and J.J. Watt. Not a Carolina guy.
Whew. That's a load off. That's so good.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's almost like a win.
Almost.
That should be the article right there. Seahawks get their biggest win on
Something
they don't even do. Something rewards Hawks, a little bit. But.
Hawks start off the season 2-0. Obviously it'll have a big impact on that game between the Hawks and the Aramo.
That's right. San Diego via Los Angeles via St. Louis via Cleveland, I think. Right.
Yeah, Cleveland. Yeah.
Do you know every team in the NFL started with Cleveland at one time?
Yeah, they apparently actually started as the Stonehenge Rams, like back in the.
That's right.
1180.
That's right.
Okay.
The stadium's still there. You can visit. It just looks like a bunch of pillars.
It's what it is. The cheap seats are still there.
That's right. It's on the top, and it's a little bit wobbly, but, you know.
You know. Just
no
just
ladder like, to get up there.
Yeah, just like the old Cleveland Stadium. Oh, my God. It took like 6 hours to get up to the top of that damn thing.
I want to point this out, because we're almost done with our podcast. It literally only talked football. Except
weird,
for the Cain and Abel thing, but that was part of football. We literally talked. And we can thank Sam Howell for that.
We can retire now, just like Aaron Donald. That's amazing.
That's right. Oh, yeah, people would be happier about that than they would about Aaron Donald retiring.
True. Yeah, we didn't even have a Rob Gordon segment for this week.
We got it, Rob Gordon. It's the best gift ever, Aaron Donald retiring.
Yeah,
it's
seriously.
Like one player we'd like to see retire. Aaron Donald. Okay, there it is.
Yeah, 5 best things about Aaron Donald retiring. Not getting sacked. Not getting hit in the face. That's not getting hospitalized.
Yeah, exactly.
Not knowing the season is going to start off not knowing that we're going to have 0-2 on our record. Good Lord. Well, seriously.
I came into this league with one great hate of Pete Carroll, but now he's no longer involved in football. Therefore, I don't see any reason to continue. That's a direct quote I just made up.
Well, if that's what it took, because, like, I'm sorry that you're retired, Pete, but if that's what it took to get Donald to quit, it's like, yeah, we're even. That's an even trade.
And Schneider's like, hey, I'm hearing that Donald is retiring. Pete, what do you think? He says if you leave, he'll leave. Pete's like, hey, I'm not sure I want to get. Well, Pete, here's the deal.
I'm sure Pete Carroll has nightmares about that. I guarantee you any quarterback who's ever seen that guy has nightmares about Aaron.
Oh, Geno. I mean, Geno's – that's one thing refreshing about Geno. You get real Geno on the field, right?
Yeah.
As people are saying, like, oh, he said this. I would have said the same damn thing, too. If Aaron Donald's chasing me, I probably would have said the F word.
I don't remember what the exact quote was, but yeah, it was like literally talking about it. It was like Aaron Donald's coming right in.
I think one was like, oh my God. It was two things. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I would have said, holy shit. I mean, I don't know what I would have just gone down. I would have been like the punter for the Rams when Michael Bennett came up. I don't know. Just like, okay, just don't hit me. Just tap me, please.
Aaron Donald, what a phenomenal player. It's like, it sucks when he's on a team rival, right? But it's like, oh my God, one of the greatest, obviously one of the greatest players ever. And like he said, it's like phenomenal. Get drafted by the team, win a Super Bowl with the team, retire with the same team. That doesn't happen very often. So
update, Aaron Donald has been traded to the San Francisco 49ers.
Miserable. yeah. Niners struck out on a couple potential signees, which is nice to see. So
yeah, it's almost like we have to regroup and be like, now who's done what? Because there's been crazy moves. That's the thing about free agency. It's like it's hard enough to keep track of one's own team, let alone everything that's happening in the NFL.
And then you have a lot of sites who's like, okay, this is your tracker. And it's like it's supposedly was updated 2 hours ago and it's not. You're doing a better job of tracking. And you're a fan. It's like, I look at...
I completely forgot about Devin Bush, though. I fixed that this morning. I was like, I feel like I'm missing somebody. And I have to look over the list. I'm like, Devin Bush, did it? Oh, okay. Yeah, there it is. But yeah, there's... I mean, and there could be people I'm still missing, but I think it's...
Well, I looked at CBS. It was supposedly updated this morning. They were missing stuff from yesterday. It was like, okay, thanks.
That's right. Still had Russell Wilson on the roster.
yeah, that reminds me. I was going to put into ChatGPT-4 and like, give me an article. And it's like, see if it's still as abominable as the test run I did like a year ago. Cause I was just curious. It's like, how would it do? And it was horrible. Cause it had year old data. And I'm like, and even with the year old data, it was like wrong, not just like objectively, but objectively wrong. And like, they're not going to draft three tackles in one draft, especially with the first two picks. That's what it did.
Offensive or defensive tackles?
Offensive tackles.
That's true. Yeah, I still see a lot of mock drafts out there. Like, oh, the first player they should take is an offensive tackle. It's like, and this was before they signed George Fant, but I'm still thinking, why? I mean, maybe Lucas is a question mark with his, you know, left tackle solid for at least the next whatever, however long they want to keep him.
Right. But just we talked about in pre-pro, hi, Ted. I have to redo a draft now because I ran a bunch of mock drafts, but it was before free agency started. And obviously, there's some changes because, like I said, I don't have to draft a tackle now. I mean,
to me, I wouldn't have drafted. I would have gone guard or center, not center, but because you can get one of them later. But guard, especially over tackle.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. At least we know whoever's doing mock drafts out there. Just a hint: don't draft a quarterback early because that would make you look silly.
Yeah, but
that's our show. Thanks for listening.
Why are you the worst?